And I want to welcome you here this morning on this Palm Sunday. So a lot of times we, you know, like Corbin was talking about, we can get caught up in just, well, it's Palm Sunday, so we got to speak about Palm Sunday. And it's an awesome thing we need to do. We need to prepare for the Easter season that's coming up because it's important to us as Christians. And it's really the cornerstone of our faith is the resurrection of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
And so this week leading up to his crucifixion, I just want to read with you, just before we go into worship, just a little bit, and I want to encourage you to go home and read the entire chapter. Go home and read this entire passage this week and spend time thinking about the triumph entry and Palm Sunday and why we celebrate, why we do. And this is what I want to do. Luke chapter 19, verse 36 through 40 says this. As he, talking about Jesus, rode along, he was riding on that colt, riding on that donkey. It says this, the crowd spread out their garments on the road ahead of him. When he reached the place where the road started down to the Mount of Olives, all of his followers began to shout and sing as they walked along, praising God for all the wonderful miracles they had seen. What a perfect passage to tie into right before we enter in this time of praise and worship. They were singing out, they were shouting out, walking along, praising God for all the wonderful miracles that they had seen. Verse 38 goes on to say what they were actually singing. They said, blessings unto the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest in heaven. But there were these Pharisees among the crowd who said this. They said, teacher, rebuke your followers for saying things like that. And listen to what Jesus says at the end of this passage here. He says, if they kept quiet, the very stones along the road would burst out into cheer. Isn't that amazing? See, we forget sometimes that Jesus, that God, that they are one, the Holy Spirit, is the creator of all things. So if we don't choose to worship this morning, it ain't going to make or break heaven. You right? Isn't that, heaven ain't going to fall apart because a group of believers don't want to worship and sing out to the Lord. But I'm going to tell you what will please God. Because if God really wanted worship from this corner and we weren't provided, the rocks in the driveway out there could cry out to Him. Amen?
Amen.
That kind of puts it in perspective this morning. So not to like browbeat you into worshiping. That's not the point. But just to put it in perspective. Man, God is awesome. He is awesome. He raised Christ from the dead who paid the penalty for our sin. That's something to shout out about this morning. Amen?
Amen.
That's something to sing about this morning. That's something that we say, there is nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you. Lord, there's nothing. Nothing is better than you. We can honestly say that this morning. There is nothing, and there never will be, never has been, anything better than our Lord. Right?
Amen.
So let's sing out this morning. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you, Lord. We say this morning, we cry out, we shout out this morning. Blessings to the one who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of all kings. Lord, oh, what a Savior we serve this morning. Oh, what a Savior we sing about. Oh, what a Savior we probably talked about in Sunday school. Oh, what a Savior we teach our children. Oh, what a Savior that we're going to speak about today. And we're going to listen to your teaching directly. Oh, God, thank you. Oh, Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for humbling yourself. Coming down to this broken earth because of your grace and because of your mercy, because of those arms that are open wide, because of that precious blood that was spilled for us when you gave your life on the cross as a sacrifice for all the nasty sin that I've committed. Oh God, we praise you this morning. Oh, what a Savior. Isn't he wonderful? Oh, what a Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, amen. How's everybody doing this morning? I kind of want to stay in that place of worship this morning. I just kind of want to keep on singing and worshiping. I don't know if my voice would hold out. Lisa would have to take over. She sings better than me anyways. But God is good this morning. God is so awesome. God is so great. If you're like me, this time of year, we like Easter. We like the celebration. And just like Christmas and all the different things that we as Christians celebrate, I want to encourage you this week again, spend some time reading through the Gospels this week in your own private time. Read about what our Savior did for us this week.
Read about what the events leading up to the crucifixion. Read about the resurrection. Don't wait for me to tell you about it, because God wants to tell you about it in your personal time. So I would encourage you, and a lot of times I do that during Easter, during this Holy Week, and during on you know Good Friday and all the and Easter morning. I like to go through all the gospel accounts and look at the different accounts of what our Savior did for us and how wonderful He is. Amen? So I want to encourage you to do that. But right now, if you want to turn to Matthew chapter 13, we're going to start off in 13 today. And the title of the sermon is Why Parables? Okay, so before we really jump into it, while you're looking for that, I just want to let you know, those joining us online especially, but everybody here, you guys know that we're going to be outside, or our outside church services are going to start back, Lord willing, and if the creek doesn't rise, right, we'll be outside from here on out through the warm months, unless it's raining or whatever, we'll have to come in. But I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to having some of these folks that are part of our family that, for whatever health reasons or whatever, they don't feel safe or they can't be with us right now. We are looking forward to having you back. So I'm excited about that. And for all of us together outside where it's there's fresh air and the community is going to hear our worship and hear the songs. I love it. And not that I don't like being in here, but I just love being outside. So along with that, we forgot to tell you at the sunrise service, after the sunrise service, there will be another breakfast. So you can't beat that. Two Sundays in a row, you come here early, you're going to get fed, right? That's what we do at a Baptist church. We believe in eating, okay? And so if you want to contribute to that, or if you want to find out if there needs to be any, if you can do anything to help out with that, get with Becky Hicks or get with Carolyn Black. They're going to be kind of heading that up. So after that, after we eat, then we'll have Sunday school and we'll be out on the lawn. So it's going to be a great day. So I'm looking forward to it. All right, so last week, to get into the message, we talked about family. We talked about our earthly family. We talked about our God-given family, or the family of God. We talked about that, and I know a few of y'all probably went home, right? And the only thing that you heard during the whole sermon is you went home and you said, Pastor Anthony said, or my pastor said, that my family is one of the most aggravating things that God has given me. Y'all remember that? Because y'all, I said, you know, the blessing of the family of God and our church was one of the biggest blessings God could give us. I said the family is one of the biggest blessings that God can give us. And I said it's also one of the most aggravating things that God has given us. And everybody said, amen. Right? We almost had a revival in here. I was like, wait a minute. Why are y'all amen and so loud on that part? So that was not the purpose of the sermon. If you recall, the main topic last week was we did talk about our blood family. We did talk about how if we have families that aren't as committed to us, or to Jesus as we are, or maybe there aren't believers in our family, sometimes they can be a major opposition or a distraction in a Christ follower's life if they are not believers. But we also talked about how God's ultimate design and His ultimate desire is for our earthly family to all be united together in the family of God and all of us to be believers. So He wasn't saying that our family was evil or anything like that. And of course, His plan and desire is for each one of you, each one of us individually, to have a relationship with Him through our faith in Christ Jesus. See, this family that Jesus came to talk about, this eternal family, the family of God, it has no limits or boundaries. Okay, and that's what's so awesome about it. There's no race boundary. There's no language boundary. I remember we were in Uganda and Malcolm Warfield was preaching a sermon and he was talking to him and he said, the family of God uses the universal language and it's called the Word of God. Right? Because no matter where we go in the world, no matter where somebody goes, no matter what language it's in, when the Word of God is read and when the name of Jesus is worshipped, I'm telling you, the Spirit shows up. And it doesn't even matter if you don't really understand what they're saying. You know they're preaching the gospel. And you can feel it and you know it. And it works on the same people no matter whether they live in a grass hut out in the middle of the bush in Africa somewhere. The same Spirit and the same the people deal with the same things and the same sin. And they need to be encouraged just like me and you. So the Word of God, the family of God is universal because it stands on the Word of God. It's an eternal family drawn together. It's an eternal family that's held together by the Holy Spirit of God. And we talked about the more that we worship together, the more that we serve God together, the more that we serve other people together, the more that we stick together all for God's glory, even because of our differences in the family of God, the more we start to realize how blessed we are to be a part of the family of God, right? Because that unity builds and those relationships build and we strengthen each other. We're there for each other in our worst times. We're there for each other in our best times. And that's when we start really appreciating that old hymn that we closed with last week. I'm so glad to be a part of the family of God. I've been washed by the fountain, cleansed by the blood. Join heirs with Jesus as we travel this side, for I'm a part of the family of God. What a blessing to be a part of the family of God. I am blessed to be a part of this family of God. So today, as we start in Matthew 13, if you go to verse 1, don't stay there because that's not where we're going to start today. Now, I know if you're like me, my simple mind, I have to start from the beginning and go to the end. But what I want to do, we're going to jump around just a little bit at the beginning of this, and I'm going to explain to you why. Almost the whole chapter of 13, some of you have probably already gone and read it. If you haven't, go ahead and read ahead of it so you can check up on me and make sure I'm preaching the right thing. But go back and look at, if you look through the chapter 13, you'll see that it's made up of mostly parables, right? And in this passage today, we're going to see the disciples asking Jesus, why do you teach in these parables? Teacher, why do you teach in these parables? Why do you use these? But it doesn't start until verse 10, until he's already in a parable, and they kind of interrupt him. They're like, why are you teaching like this? So Jesus gives the perfect answer, and he gives us, it's important, I guess, for us to understand why he is teaching, because he gives us the answer. Why is Jesus teaching in parables? We have to understand that before we start going through the first parable and all the rest of it. I think it's like 7 or 8 parables that are in chapter 13. So that's why we're going to jump ahead. So if you want to go down to verse 10, chapter 13, verse 10, and we're just going to go from 10 to 17. And then we're not going to leave any of the scripture out because I've been growing and blessed. We're going to come back to one. That'll be probably the week after Easter, Lord willing. So verse 10 and chapter 13, we're going to go all the way to verse 17. This is what it says. His disciples came to him and asked, why do you use parables when you talk to the people? He replied, you are permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. Remember, he's talking to his disciples, the ones who gave up everything to follow him. And he says, but others are not. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given, and they will have an abundance of knowledge. But for those who do not listen, or those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them. That's why I use these parables. For they look, but they don't really see. Listen to this, church. Listen to what Jesus is telling us today. They hear, but they don't really listen or understand. This fulfills the prophecy of Isaiah that says, when you hear what I say, you will not understand. When you see what I do, you will not comprehend. For the hearts of the people are hardened, and their ears cannot hear. And they have closed their eyes, and their eyes cannot see. So their eyes cannot see, excuse me. And their ears cannot hear. And their hearts cannot understand. And they cannot turn to me and let me heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see. He's talking to his disciples. And blessed are your ears because they hear. I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see, but they didn't see it. And they long to hear what you hear, but they didn't hear it. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, and we're going to talk about it. But Lord, we thank you for the knowledge that we have of you. We thank you for the scriptures. We thank you for the word that you gave us, God, that everything we need for this life and the life to come is right here in this book. And what we don't understand, Lord, your Holy Spirit, the advocate, is there waiting this morning to help us understand if we'll just tune our ears in and we really want to listen. If we'll just open our eyes of our hardened hearts and just go past ourselves and go past everything else, Lord, and we will just listen to what you want to tell us this morning. Lord, listen. Help us to listen. Help us to be still this morning and help us to listen to your Spirit. Each of us are in a different place. Each of us are created differently. Each of us are in different walks of life and in different places. We're dealing with different things. God, I just pray that each person here, that myself, each of us, we would just loosen up our heart a little bit, soften up that soil a little bit, and your word can plant a seed that we're going to talk about in a few weeks when we go through this parable. God, be with us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So I've always understood, and the way I've always kind of thought about it, why Jesus taught in parables. Why does Jesus teach in parables? Well, I always pictured it is because it was easy for me to relate to and understand, right? But if I'm honest, a lot of times I'll read through some of the parables, especially when I was just starting to really study the Bible or whatever, and starting in my life, in my walk with the Lord, I would read the parables and I'm like, I don't understand what he's saying, right? And so then I would beat myself up because I'd say, well, I thought the parables were supposed to make it easier for me to understand, but it would leave me scratching my head wondering, what is Jesus saying here? What is he really saying? Well, this morning we're going to look at four reasons that Jesus gives us in this passage why he teaches. He tells us why he does it, and we're going to go through it. Number one is this: spiritual understanding is given to believers, not to unbelievers. That's the first thing he's going to give us, the reason why he uses these parables. Number two is understanding is given to those who actually go out and look for it. They seek for understanding. They want it. If you look in Proverbs, what does it say? It says, cry out for understanding. Cry out for wisdom. Number three, he tells us that understanding is not for those who reject the truth. Who come and they just say, I know, I don't want to hear it. It could be even somebody in a church service that sits here and they say, yeah, I'm here, but I'm tuning out. I don't want to hear that because I don't want to deal with it. They reject the truth. Understanding is not for those people. Number four, true believers, true followers of Christ are blessed because they receive more and more truth, more and more understanding. If they are one of those people that actually is a true believer and actually seeks for the understanding that God can give us. You see, at this point in Jesus' ministry, where we are at right here in chapter 13, at this point in his ministry, Jesus began to dig a little deeper into his teaching. He began to dig a little deeper into things that he was revealing about the mystery of God. He had been healing people. He had been doing things. It was time to take it to another level. The crowds were growing. People were following him. And he was to begin teaching on the secret things of the heaven, of the heavens and of the kingdom of heaven. And only true disciples would really be able to understand it. That's why he taught in these parables, because they recognized that Jesus was who he said he was and who the prophets before him said he was. He was the Messiah, the only one who could bring the kingdom of heaven to mankind, was standing right there with them. So let's look back at verse 10 and 11, and we'll break those two verses down. This is what it says. His disciples came to him and asked him, why do you use parables when you talk to the people? He replied, you are permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but others are not. So here's point number one. Understanding is for believers, not for unbelievers. So like I already said, sometimes the parables can be a little confusing. And I believe, as I was studying this week and I was reading this, that the disciples were there watching Jesus teach this crowd. This is what I'm picturing. And they saw the confusion on the faces of the crowd that sometimes I get when I read the word and I'm trying to figure out, what is he saying there? I don't understand. What exactly is God? What is Jesus saying there? What does he want me to get from this? And maybe he saw the confusion, like, what's he talking about? I've seen that on y'all's faces a few Sundays when I'm up here talking, right? And most of the time it's probably y'all are, I'm not beating up on you, I'm talking about myself here this morning. Y'all are probably thinking like, okay, where is he going with this? Like, what's coming from this, okay? So I know that face and what it looks like. But seriously, I believe that the disciples had the best motives in asking these questions with Jesus. I believe they came to him and they wanted people, other people to believe. They had left everything they had and invested their relationship in following. They left their boat, they left their business, they left their family to follow Christ. And here they are teaching. And I think they were concerned. I think they were concerned that some of the people weren't getting the message. And they were coming to them basically like saying, well, why are you teaching like this? Some of the people aren't understanding it. And Jesus basically tells them this. God gives believers understanding of spiritual things that an unbeliever cannot understand and will not understand. See, the secrets of heaven have to be revealed by God. That's not something we can just go to a school and learn. It has to be revealed by the Holy Spirit. And until we believe in our heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God who came to the earth, who lived a sinless life, who was crucified on the cross to pay the penalty for all mankind's sin, until we believe and we really trust in Jesus for the forgiveness of our own sins, until we believe that Jesus really was resurrected from the grave, and to this day, right now, today, he is alive. Amen? And he's standing on the throne. Until we call on the name of Jesus as our Lord and Savior, until we're born again and filled with the Holy Spirit, we cannot and will not, and we really won't desire to understand the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. Because all we know is the pain and the pleasure of this life. I stole that little line from our men's study. If you're missing out on that, it's awesome. They talked about a life without God. The only thing that you're going to get from it, the only things you're going to get from a life without God is pain and pleasure of this life. But once we really believe, and once we really begin to devote our life and we follow Christ, once we really begin to read His Word and spend time investing in that relationship with God, our personal relationship, the Holy Spirit begins to open up the eyes of our hearts and we start understanding the Word. So all of a sudden, instead of just reading, you know, the Word, and we say, okay, yeah, that's Jesus was a really smart guy, whatever. All of a sudden, the Spirit starts bringing things to surface in your life where you're like, whoa, I need to deal with that. Or man, I didn't realize God cared for me. I didn't realize God would do that for me. I didn't realize God would help me. I didn't realize God would forgive me and that God loves me and that I'm not the only one that struggles with sin. All the different things that God starts opening up our understanding more and more of who He is and the secret things that are just for those who are believers. John 14:26, Jesus says this, "But when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, He will teach you," listen to this, church, "He will teach you everything and remind you of everything that I have told you." Thank God we're not alone, church. Thank God this morning. Did you know the Holy Spirit is here this morning? Did you know the Holy Spirit of God is here this morning? Jesus promised when we gather, He is here with us. That should excite us this morning. Understanding is for believers, not for unbelievers. That's why He taught in parables. Look back with me at verse 12 as we continue. Matthew 13, verse 12 says this, "To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given, and they will have an abundance of knowledge. But for those who are not listening," are y'all listening to that, teenagers? We talked about that in Sunday school. We gotta be silent to listen, right? "But for those of us who are not listening, even what little understanding we have will be taken away from them." So here's point number two. And understanding is for those people, those believers, who actually seek for understanding. They want more of God. I think about that song, "I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God." That should be our attitude. That should be our heart. That should be our worship. We should always think, "God, I want more. I want more of your understanding. I want more of your Spirit working in my life." So here we both see in this passage right here that Jesus gives us, He gave us an awesome promise, right? What did He say? He said, "More understanding will be given, and you will have an abundance of knowledge." I'd like to know what God's perspective of abundance is. I think of abundance as a big load of something, or a big pile of something, or a plenty of money in a bank account. I'd like to know what God's version, or what He's talking about, an abundance of knowledge. It's unlimited. So it should be an awesome promise for us who are seeking for that. But it's also a stern warning on the other hand. And right here in this one verse. So before we go any further this morning, I have to ask your permission. I'm just doing it because it's polite. I'm going to do it anyways. But I'm going to ask your permission this morning to be real with you this morning. Can you handle that this morning? Can we handle that? All right, two people can handle that. Don't leave the other people. No, can we handle that this morning? Can we just be real this morning? Here goes. If you are a believer that seeks and seeks after the Lord, from your heart and your soul, everything you do, you just want to please God and you want to grow more in knowledge of Him and you want to serve Him more. A person who wants to be around God more and experience Him working in Him. A person who spends time on their knees praying and pouring out their requests, praying for our country, praying for the lost souls in the world. Someone who's devoted to reading the Word and praying. Maybe a person wanting God to continue working in their life and teaching them new things to step out on faith. This passage today is a great passage for you. And you should be encouraged. There's no limit of what God can do if you actually are seeking for God's understanding. There's no limit to the things that He will fill you with and do through you and in your life if you go seeking for it. But listen to me, church. If you are the kind of believer who is lazy and complacent, maybe you are inconsistent, closed-minded, unteachable, A time waster. I think about how often my phone's over there. We're doing Facebook Live on my phone. But I think about how often I should be reading the Word. I think of how often I should be reaching out to a church member, checking on them. I think of how often I should be spending time in prayer, maybe studying for my sermon. You know what I'm doing? Ooh, there's a John boat I could buy. Right? Oh man, I'd like to have that new gun, Jenny. Or, oh, did you see such and such? They went on a cruise. We should do that sometime. Think about how much time I spend wasting time. Or maybe just idle. Maybe just content. Maybe we're just content coming to church, but never stepping out on faith. Never actually investing in our relationship with God and really trusting Him and experiencing God working through us. Maybe you're following some kind of false religion or rules or ideas rather than just simply following Christ. Maybe you're misguided by some idea of man. I'm going to give you a little golden nugget today. And this is the simple wisdom of Anthony Clore for you. Something I've noticed in life. Anytime that you follow any kind of teaching that has somebody's name attached to it, the person that thought that they had it all figured out, beware of that and stay away from it. Anytime there's something that has an ism at the end of it, stay away from it. You don't need it. The only thing you need right here is this book that was written by one person called God, all right? And the only name you need to be concerned about are the names that the Bible and God calls Himself. Yahweh, right? The great I Am, God. The only name we need to be concerned about is the King of Kings, Jesus Christ. That's what we need to focus on. If that's you this morning, this verse should be a real warning for you. Maybe you think salvation is just being baptized. Coming to church, check it off the list, I'm good. I want to tell you this morning, while we're being real here this morning, you are wrong. And you have totally missed the point of the gospel message of Jesus Christ. He wants to make you born again in a new creation. Not to sit idle, not to be lazy, not to waste time, but to go out and to reach the world as a disciple of Christ. The famous Leonard Ravenhill said this in his book that I read once titled, Why Revival Tarries. He says this, the price is high. God doesn't want partnership with us, but ownership of us. Listen to that, church. The price is high. God doesn't want just partnership with us. He wants complete ownership of you. He wants complete ownership of me. Jesus says this Himself. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6 on the Sermon on the Mount. He said, God blesses those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. We hunger for it. We hunger for righteousness. He says, for they will be satisfied. He says this in Luke 16, verse 10. He says, if you are faithful with the little things, so whatever knowledge, whatever understanding I have right now, if you're faithful with that, He says, you'll be faithful in larger ones. But if you're dishonest in the little things, you won't be honest with even greater responsibilities. So we need to let this truth evaluate each one of our commitments. Just like it's evaluating my commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. Who, by the way, if you don't know, especially as we celebrate this Holy Week and everything, He gave it all for us on the cross, right? He gave everything for us. Can I tell y'all something this morning? It feels good to preach the Word. It feels good to preach the truth. Let's pray. Lord, we love You this morning. Before we go any further, Lord, I feel Your Spirit this morning. Work on us this morning. God, help us to stay in this place as we continue this message and we continue going through Your teaching. And strengthen me. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's look at verse 13 through 15. He says this, that is why I use these parables. For they don't look, for they look, but they don't really see. I can't see for the tears in my eyes. They hear, but they don't really listen or understand. This fulfills the prophecy of the prophet Isaiah when he says this. When you hear what I say, you will not understand. When you see what I do, you will not comprehend. For the hearts of the people are hardened, and their ears cannot hear. And they cannot, and they have closed their eyes, and their eyes, so their eyes cannot see, and their ears cannot hear, and their hearts cannot understand, and they cannot turn to me and let me heal them. So here's number three. Understanding is not for those who actively go out and don't want to hear it, and they reject it. You can't expect to reject Christ and reject God calling you and calling you in different ways, calling you away from sin in your life. You can't expect, you can't cry out for understanding from God while you're actively rejecting what He tells you to do or rejecting His Spirit when He's calling you to do something. In fact, the scary truth about this is this. The more that we reject the truth, the more understanding that we will actually begin to lose. So the more, He just told us that, right? He said, if we're not faithful with the little things, why would He give us more? The more we reject the truth, the more understanding we will begin to lose. You see, when an unbeliever willfully rejects to listen and follow Jesus, he or she is refusing to understand. Right there. They're refusing to understand the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. All of it's right there in front of them. And they refuse to listen. I know we've used this illustration before. We go to Zimbabwe and it's part of their custom. If they don't want to hear the gospel, if they're another religion and they don't want to hear what we have to say, they won't run us off. They're a very friendly culture, but you'll see somebody in the crowd when you go to their little homestead. That's what they call it. If they don't want to hear it, they'll turn their back to you. And the whole time you're teaching, they'll turn their back, just showing, I'm not listening to this. Sometimes we can be the same way, even right here in the church service, or when we're reading the Word, or when we're listening to a sermon online, whatever it is. So why would anybody ever want to not understand? Why would they want to refuse the understanding of the kingdom of God? Jesus says it best right here in verse 15 when he quotes the prophet Isaiah. What did he say? He said, because their hearts are hardened. For the hearts of these people are hardened. I found it interesting this week while I was studying this passage, which was yesterday, by the way. It was a busy week for me. When I was studying this yesterday, that when the original Greek meaning, when he's talking about the hardened hearts, that their hearts are hardened, when you go back to the original Greek meaning, I'm not going to try to pronounce it for you, I'm just going to tell you what it means. It says that the people's hearts have become fat. Think about that. I think this is a great illustration. When I was reading it, I didn't really understand, but I think this is how sin works in our life. We know that eating too much, I know that I shouldn't go back and have seconds, and I know that I need to lose weight or whatever. I know I need to exercise more. We know it's not good for us to eat too much food. We know all the health experts tell us that we will live longer and have a better life, a healthier life, if we live a healthier life and we eat better. But we choose not to listen to the doctors, if you're like me, and you keep on going back and you keep on eating and you keep on eating junk food or whatever it is. This is how a hardened heart works with God. We hear the preaching of the Word, right? We come to church. We read the damaging effects of sin in our life. For all eternity, we read about hell. We hear about hell, the warnings of that. We can hear about the gospel of Jesus Christ. We can do all these things, but we get so enslaved in our sin. We get so enslaved in our sin that we don't listen. We do it anyways. Proverbs 29 verse 1 says this: whoever stubbornly refuses to accept criticism will suddenly be destroyed beyond recovery. That's some sharp words from the Lord this morning. You see, if we listened, if we actually listened, that would mean that we'd have to stop actually doing the things that God doesn't want us to do. That's the problem. The sins and the acts of the flesh that we enjoy so much. If I listened to the doctors and all the health experts about losing weight, or maybe, you know, lowering blood sugar, or less chance of having diabetes or heart disease or whatever, I'd live a longer life and I'd be healthier. That means I got to give up my Krispy Kreme donuts. Right? That means I got to give up the fried number one meal instead of getting the grilled sandwich at Chick-fil-A. I'm like, nope, I want the fried one with extra cheese and I want the double order of fries and I want a big 5-gallon bucket of Dr. Pepper. Right? That's how it works with their sin. So what Jesus is telling us here, that we make the choice not to listen to the truth. The truth's right there in front of us. We make the choice not to listen to it. We make the choice to follow our flesh. And when we choose this route, You know what the devil's doing? He's just grinning with an evil grin, and he's just waiting to deceive us more and more and more, and enslave us more and more, destroy us more and more, and rob us of the understanding of the kingdom of heaven more and more, to the point where we're unable to understand the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. We just keep on living for the world. And therefore, it's hard for us to be healed because we don't want to listen. Our hearts are hardened. Psalm 81, 11 and 12 says this, "But no, my people wouldn't listen. Israel did not want me around. So I will let them follow their own stubborn desires, living according to their own ideas." You see, God loves you so much this morning that he's not going to make you walk away from your sin. God loves you so much this morning, he's not going to make you follow him, because he wants us to willfully come to him and say, "I want to follow you because of what you did for me, and because you created me, because you are God. I'm going to obey you, and I'm going to do what you want to do, and I'm going to spend my life serving you." So I let them follow their own stubborn desires, living according to their own ideas. Let's look at verse 16 and 17, and we'll wrap it up. He goes on to say this, "But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see, but they didn't see it. And they longed to hear what you hear, but they didn't hear it." Here's the last and final point today, is that true believers are blessed because they receive more and more truth. They receive more and more understanding. So that's the encouraging thing that we can take away today, is that if we are true believers and we're seeking after God, he's going to continue to give us more and more truth, more and more understanding of the kingdom of heaven. So what are these blessings that come with more understanding? Have you ever heard of the fruits of the Spirit? You ever heard of that? When we actually follow Christ and we follow the Spirit of God, when we devote our life to him and we say, "No, God, I want to seek after, I want more wisdom, I want more understanding." You know what we have a life of? A life filled of love, because we understand that God loves us. You know what we have a life filled with is joy, because we have joy of knowing that this isn't it, and that we're forgiven, and that we have that peace, and we have the patience, we have the kindness and the goodness and the faithfulness, the gentleness, and the self-control. All those things that come from following the Spirit. You see, when we see the truth and we actually choose to listen to the truth and really listen to it, we begin to experience the greatest blessing that we could ever experience. We get to understand the truth about the God of all creation and his kingdom. Think about the glorious privilege we have in that, because we know where eternity is secured by the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's secured. Nobody can take us. The Bible tells us that nothing can separate us from the love of God. And because of this spiritual healing, because we are actually born again, we begin to look at these blessings as so much more than just things. We start to think all of a sudden, blessings aren't just a new truck. Blessings aren't that John boat that I see on Facebook Marketplace that I want, all right? Blessings aren't just whatever, you know, the money that I have in my bank account. We begin to look at it as so much more than just the desires of our flesh. I heard it preached like this once, and I've got it written in the cover of my Bible, and I don't even remember who preached it, but I know it impacted me. It says this: heaven is not a destination, it's motivation. So heaven is not just a destination we try to get to, right? Jesus already did that for us. What that should do is motivate us to devote our life to following him and to serve him and to spend a life that is fulfilled with a holy and eternal purpose. So as we close this morning, I want to let you on just a little bit of a secret this morning. Did you know that we are actually, as the church today, right here in Fork Union, we are more blessed than the believers were in the Old Testament, even than the prophet Isaiah, who wrote some of the words that Jesus was quoting? If you really want to understand how blessed you are to be a believer today, go home this week and read Hebrews. Read the epistle of Hebrews, because it does a great job of comparing the two and bringing that fact to light of how blessed we are to be in the New Testament church. So why are we more blessed? It's because of Jesus. It's because we have Christ. Does that make sense this morning? They were looking forward, hoping that Christ was going to come and trying to believe that Christ was going to come. And the prophets were preaching about it. But we have the fact of knowing that Christ did come and he died and he didn't stay in the grave. He's resurrected from the dead and he's alive today. But just like Jesus told us in this passage today, we have to have our hearts soft enough to receive it. We're going to talk about it after Easter. We're going to talk about what's the condition of your heart, the condition of your soil. Is it ready for God's word to be planted into it? Is it ready to produce more and more things for God? We must have the ears to hear and the eyes to see. And we must turn away from our sin. And we must turn to God. So I ask you this morning, do you understand the secrets of the kingdom of God this morning? Or are you just here listening but not hearing? Is the cross that's on the wall here, is the cross that's out on the lawn to you, is the cross that you see Jesus at this time, especially in Easter, hanging on, is it real to you this morning personally? Or is it just a charm around your necklace? What is it that you need to give up this morning to gain more understanding of the kingdom of God? I ask you this morning because as we go through these parables over the next coming weeks, probably months, as we come to the next week of celebrating the resurrection and the life of Jesus Christ, God's desire is for each of us to open our ears to listen and to actually hear the truth of God. That we will gain more and more understanding of the kingdom of God. So this morning, I want to ask you this as an invitation. Are you willing to listen to the Holy Spirit this morning? Are you willing to listen to what God is doing, wanting to do in your life this morning? Over the next probably 8 weeks, are you ready to hear the parables that lay ahead? Are you ready to understand and say, God, I want to understand them? Not just so I can say I have more understanding than somebody else. Not because I can be prideful about it. Because I want you to work in my life and show me what to do. Show me my purpose. Show me what I need to walk away from. Show me what you have for me. Whatever it is, we have to be willing to let God teach us. And we have to do that individually. Amen? So as the worship band leads us in this last song in the hymn, if God is leading you and there's something you want to share, a testimony or whatever it is, I just pray that you would come forward and share that with us. If God is working something out in your life right now that you need to take care of today, I'll be glad to pray with you, but you can take care of it right now where you are. God wants a relationship with you individually. But if there's something that you want me to pray with you about or be praying with you about, to fight the battle with you or whatever it is,